The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Roddy Collins is one of the most recognisable names in Irish domestic football. His playing career, which spanned 18 years, saw him kit out for many teams in the Republic, Northern Ireland and England, including Bohemians, Dundalk, Athlone Town, Shamrock Rovers, Sligo, Crusaders, Bangor, Newport County and more. It was his managerial career, however, that brought him nationwide notoriety, particularly after two TV documentaries about his time with Monaghan United and Carlisle United were aired. He is described as a larger-than-life character with never-ending stories, many of which are detailed in his new book called The Rod Father. Great title. A book he collaborated with writer Paul Howard. And Howard describes the final product as one of the great unwritten Irish sports stories of our time. Roddy is with me. Roddy Collins, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Has the most unusual opening in the prologue to any book I've ever read.
Yeah. Well, it's true. It's a Friday night, sitting down at the end of a week, another eventful week, as I'm heard. And I'm watching a game on television. I had no involvement with either of the teams. And the song comes out, Roddy Collins is a flanker. Is a flanker, as we won't.
We won't use the proper word.
We will not, definitely won't use that word. So that was it. And I sat back and I went, I'm not even involved in this game and people are singing my name in a derogatory way, but in an affectionate way when you meet the people. You know, they call you all sorts, but when you actually physically meet people, I get on well with them. It's fine.
Yeah, but you did ask yourself a soul-searching question. Could I really be a flanker?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like everything else. If someone tells you you're brilliant all the time, you're going to think you're brilliant. But if someone's singing on national TV, you're a flanker. Well, you have to look in the mirror and go, there could be a bit of truth in that one. You know? Now, I'm sure there is a bit of truth in some.
Your co-writer, Paul Howard, you go back. I thought this was just a marriage made by the publisher. But no, you actually go back a long, long way.
30 years, Pat. I remember, and Paul, he probably won't like me saying, but the Milky Bar Kid was his nickname. He was about, I'd say, 17, 18. He looked about 12. And we were on the road with Stephen with the boxing. We were in London and we noticed him around the place. And we were going to bed about 3 a.m. after another win and a great night. And we seen Paul sitting in the foyer. Carolyn said to me, Rod, that kid should be in bed. That was the words. And I went down and said,
he looked so pale and wan.
Oh, I was like his child, you know. I said, get up to bed, you. He said, don't have a bed. So Carolyn said, pull the mattress off the base and whatever. We made him a bed in the corner. And then after that, we travelled as a bunch of lads and we brought him into all the rooms that we stayed in because he had no expenses. Yeah. And that became a long friendship. And then obviously his life took a different direction from sports to being an author. And then just out of the blue, well, actually about 10 years ago, I was in Lily's, if it was still open, and a bottle of champagne arrived over and I'm going, is that for me or do they think I'm Steve? And I was a bit confused. I looked at Paul, the older Milky Mar kid, waving over. He said, that's for you, Rod, you and Caroline. So he done well. And then I got a call one Monday. Actually, Pat, I was contemplating what was it all about. I really was for about 12 months. What was all the effort for? What was all the wars for with the different authorities that destroyed my football career as a manager? And I got a phone call and he said, Rod, Michael McLaughlin from Penguin heard you on a podcast.
Yeah.
You flippantly mentioned it'd be in your book. You've never done a book. So he said, they want to set up a meeting. And I said, no interest, Paul, absolutely none. However, if you got involved, I'd do it. He says, right, we'll do it. And that was it. Brilliant.
He had done Stephen's book, but that's another story, which maybe we better not tell. Now, let's talk about you growing up and why you went to football and Stephen went to boxing.
Well, obviously, I kept my boxing family, but as you see through the book and through my life, I loved a bit of glamour.
Yeah.
You know, and there was no great glamour in boxing. I can absolutely assure you that one down the Phoenix Boxing Club starting off, down the dingy old basement of Parkgate Street with old Billy Wright. And old Billy Wright had a cauliflower in the
Billy other. Wright cut my hair as a kid.
Well, there you go.
And then Billy's son cut hair
cut
as well.
Hair in Canberra before his tragic death, right? So we had an affiliation with boxing. My father was a champ. Like people say Stephen was the world champ. I can name 7 or 8 champions in the Collins family, along with Stephen, younger and older. So it was a boxing thing. But I fell in love with it when I seen George Best. When I was about 8, I seen him in the European Cup final and he stuck in my mind. And then later on in my life, I seen him as a, you know, it was just this exotic footballer with Just brilliant.
Surrounded by beautiful women, flash cars.
That's
he
it.
Had his own fashion line.
And that was for me, pa. It wasn't going out to a dingy gym in Park Gate, so I can tell you that. But I actually was good at football. I was good at boxing. I didn't love it the way I loved football, and you know you have to love something. So yeah, I decided, and I got a trial for Fulham. And lo and behold, who was at Fulham? Only the my idol, George Best.
Absolutely. He was trying to make a comeback at that point.
He was just finished with Man United, and you know he was just winding down the gears, even though he was still a young man. But he was there, not very often, but he was there some days. And I just got the privilege to be around him. And to say if you meet your idol, it can be, you know, disappointing. It wasn't. He was an absolute lovely, lovely fella. Very friendly and, you know, very helpful.
And storytelling, told you all the yarns.
Never told me, no. I read him in books, but he wasn't that kind of a person.
Oh, he didn't boast about his conquests?
No. He was quite unassuming. But, I mean, we all knew about it. So you had to pick up the paper every morning in the club, and you knew George was going to be in training because you'd seen him with some Miss World the night before in a street fellas or somewhere. I don't think he'd be in today, lad, you know, but he was brilliant.
Now, you talk about, throughout the book, how you fell out with various people. As an underage player, John Giles, who still broadcasts happily from this station, which is great.
Yeah, well, falling out wouldn't be a word. It wasn't a personal thing. I mean, I just loved playing football. I loved, and in the book, you'll see that I fell out with people over not being picked. It wasn't because I thought I was better than else. I just loved playing. And I was led to believe in the football world, I was going to play in Dalymount Park, my first international under 18, and I wasn't picked, and of course half a cabaret was there, and all my building side friends, my family. So me being me, I just up sticks and walked out, and I said F that, and I just left. I didn't have any argument with Johnny because I respect him and he's a legend and always will be. But I just done what Roddy Collins done. I walked out and I got home and I was proud of myself. Then they came and said, will you keep your passport for the next game? No. And I gave all my stuff back, and do I live to regret that one 100%.
And did you ever have a chat with Johnny afterwards about that?
I met Johnny at the launch of one of the radio stations in the Jervis Centre, and we were having a chat, and I said it to him. He says, "You were full of yourself, Rod." And I went, "You know what, Johnny? I probably was in your eyes, but
still are."
Oh, well, look,
it's what keeps you going, though.
Well, Pat, full of yourself, I don't really. That's not a term we would use. Full of life, I would
say.
Full
of confidence.
Well, my ma gave us bowls of confidence in the morning, not conflicts. That's what we got.
You see, when I look at a map of your playing career, 1979 to 81, Bowes, 81 to 82, Home Farm, 82 to 83, Bowes, 83 to 84, Athlone, 84 to 85, Drogheda, 85 to 86, Dundalk, 86 to 87, Mansfield Town, 87 to 88, Newport County, 88, Cheltenham
Town. I'll be back in an aeropile.
You know what I mean? You didn't stay long in any of these places.
Well, the first couple of years was an injury. Obviously, Bowes, I was doing really well in the first team at 18, got a really bad broken leg 3 years then, and I ended up at Home Firm, and then I went back to Bowes, and then I went with Turlough O'Connor. So if people in football look at, they will see the connections with Turlough and Bowes and all that. So yeah, I didn't stay long. I was sold a few times and I left a few times, but I always had a good record in any club I played for.
Now, the move to management, who persuaded you that management was your thing?
That was mad. I had no interest in management. Coming off the pitch up in the north of Ireland at Bangor, I was probably the oldest player thereabouts. The manager resigned. The president of the club came to me, Wilson Matthews, said, "Rod, will you take control for a month? We find the manager." I said, "No problem." And nothing's a problem with me, Pat. Nothing. Until I realised it will be a problem. And I took it on, and it was a piece of cake. And we got 2 wins and 2 draws, and they gave me a 2-year contract. And to me, like, it wasn't like a job. It was like a labour of love. I loved it. And it was brilliant, and I found it easy. And being around footballers and, you know, being a manager, I employed 30 people at the time, so being around footballers and managing and stuff like that was simple. And I loved the game. I know the game a bit. I know a lot longer now, or a lot more now than I did then. But I found it easy. It was simple. Yeah. And I achieved there, and then I went to Bohemians.
By trade, you were a plasterer.
I still am.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know how often you ply your trade.
Well, I will do it free for anybody who's struggling, has no money, or family or friends. I will do small jobs free, and I've done it for the last few years. I don't charge for it.
Yeah, there's one story in the book about how you went plastering on some development, but you went out of your way to try and get fired.
I was only back from England. I had a little few bob, and I was told by a friend of mine, Tommy Dale, there's a job up for you on the race course. They were renovating the race course into a big stand. And I said, Tom, please, I didn't want, I had a few quid, I wanted a rest. And I'm looking at him, giving him back a stop, and Carla's going, that's great. So I let the air down my wheels anyway, and I rang them and I said, I'm not going to make it today. Me, and I said, it's only walking distance, Carla said, it was from Blackers Avenue up to the Phoenix Park. So I got there, I tried everything to be sacked. And the two boys, Kevin and Michael McManus, drywall and plaster, I'd done everything, and I don't know where they kept me. And then one day Michael said, Kevin was the more dominant figure in the company, he said to Michael, why have we got him here? He does nothing. He says, you know the way there's a goat in among the cattle for good luck? He's the goat in the company. And I was called the goat last week, but it's a different meaning now. The young kids call me the greatest of all time, the goat. So I accept it now. But back then, well, look, Pat, I'd done a lot of stuff. You know, I sauntered through life, but football was always the main thing in my mind.
Because, you know, if you were to try and draw a graph of your life, it's like a roller coaster, up and down and up and down and up and down.
But that's to everyone else. But to me, it was a normal, and still is, up and down like a roller coaster. But it's normal. It's not disruptive to any of my family and Caroline and the kids. You know, I work hard to in every way, in different angles, to always provide for them. And I think I did. They've all been educated. So, yeah, look, Pat, I tried my best at football. It didn't work. I got a lot of injuries. I had to provide for a family. Plaster was my trade. I said, how am I going to make money at that? I went contracting. I done everything I could to provide for the family, do the best I could at football. I really done well as a manager, not as a player. I done my best as a player, a lot of injuries. And I came across some very big obstacles. I overcame them, and I'm ready to go again in the football world. Yeah. The plaster world is finished for me. You know, it's gone.
Okay, because there comes a time if you're in the building trade that the body just doesn't want
it. It's not the body part. I was employing people. It's the stress of paying 30 men, having no money on a Thursday, and trying to make up 30 wage packs on a Friday. Oh my God, that's stressful.
I'm trying to get paid.
Well, that was the hard. I was brilliant at getting the job, brilliant at doing the job, and then the hard part was getting payment, and that's when it fell down for me.
You had, and John Delaney did not get on, it's fair to say, you have been vindicated.
Well, I have, Pat, and thank you very much to the boys, Rowan anyway, we'll get his name later on. But yeah, look, Pat, I don't like wrongdoing. I don't like slipshod. I don't like underhanded stuff. That was going on. It was all there. It's in the book. I took it on. I couldn't be part of it. I was asked to be part of it. I was cajoled into being part of it. I suffered about 10 years of my managerial career because of it. But you know what? I'm happy to sacrifice that part of my life because I'm vindicated. I didn't let my wife and kids down, and I didn't join the gang, as they say.
Now, the documentaries that were made about your time as a manager, do you have any regrets about those and some of the things you said?
Of course you do. Like, some of the stuff was cringy and corny. But in my life, I don't think about things. I just take them on and go, there you are. And like, you talk about some management, you know, I believe that. I absolutely believed I could do that. And manage Ireland, still believe I could do that one. You know, and at the end of the day, you have to believe. And I always stood up and said, this is who I am, this is what I believe. If it happens, you're a hero. If it doesn't, sure a gob, sure. So what? That's life. I can accept it. But people believed in me. That was
now,
it.
This book, it appears to be about you, but it's more than that. It's about you and your beloved, because she's
Caroline.
With you every step of the way. Caroline, no matter what you decided to do, I mean, there was a prospect even of going to China. She would have followed you all the way to Beijing.
That was happening just before lockdown. Everything was agreed. Everything was agreed. Carol said, we give it 3 semesters out there. It was a college job first, and then you go into a club. So I'm with Carol since we're 15. You know what I mean? And she's me pal. She's me boss. She sorts me out. She's my rock. She's everything. So you wouldn't get this far and have 5 kids and have the life I've had without a very, very strong woman who stood by me through thick and thin.
There's so much more to come, I suspect, in your life. But at the moment, you've got two boys who are following in yours and Stephen's footsteps, a boxer and a footballer.
Yeah, I have. And it's funny how it worked out. Rod has been with me since a kid. He's been in the dugout with me since he was 5, 6, 7. And I mean, he pursued, he played with Derry with me, played in that loan, and then in England in the year with Crystal Palace and the year with Luton Town, got a very bad injury. So he's at it now, non-league in England, and he's flying it. And then my other son, out of the blue, Pat, I mean, the big cuddly man himself turned around one day and says, "Dad, don't be an electrician. I want to be a professional boxer." And I went, "That's great." And I went into the car and says, "You better tell him that's not, I've got the heart." Turns out he's a very, very competent, good boxer. Okay. Won a title last year, actually this time last year in November. And we'll have a future in the game. So it's just funny how things work out. But I suppose you follow in what you've lived.
Finally, there are not too many Roddies around, but you decided to call your own son.
I know.
Even though you were a boy named Sue.
Oh, stop, I was, Pat. I mean, out in Cameron, you know, walking into the Dole office when I was a kid, Roderick Collins, and I went, "Jesus, don't call me that. Don't call anyone laugh." But look, there's Roddy O'Rourke, number one. There's me, number two. There's young Rod, my Rod, number three. And then there's Roddy O'Rourke, number four. So there's four unfortunate people out there, and I had to, you know, what did Johnny Cash say? Fight hard or die.
Fight hard or die.
Yeah.
Well, Sandy Cove, an imprint of Penguin Books, are the publishers. The title of the book is The Rod Father, Inside the Beautiful Game, with Paul Howard. But its author and the subject of this really fabulous book, Roddy Collins. Thank you very much for joining me on the programme today.
Thanks a lot, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.